Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Welcome back, everybody. The international break is over, and it is another Roma Press Podcast. Before getting into everything, including the upcoming debut 3.0 of Claudio Ranieri, a thank you to our newest patron over at Patreon, Robin Khabib. Robin, thank you for your support. And of course, to all of our other wonderful patrons, patreon.com/RomaPress to get early access to episodes. And then at IS Roma Press for the social media, the video version. And of course, thank you to everyone for your continued support, even during these dark days, this very dark season thus far. Andy, we have still gotten the views have maintained, which perhaps it is an indictment on the illness of all of us collectively and our gluttonous ways of being gluttons for punishment. But still, it has been very overwhelming to see the amount of people who continue to watch and listen. So we greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate it. Of course, international break. Did you do anything interesting? It is nice. Sometimes I do wish perhaps one more week would be appropriate. Did you do anything other than...
I watched
my Cleveland Cavaliers.
No, I didn't watch your Cleveland Cavaliers. I did watch the Golden State Warriors, who beat your Cleveland Cavaliers.
They did?
I'm enjoying the good weather. I went bodyboarding the other day. You know, it's trying to catch some waves. It was so needed to put just a little bit of distance. You know, obviously, both of us, we're still very much in that world, you know, and obviously this international break was full of drama because, again, you know, this search for Ranieri, which took a bit of time, people were getting nervous, questions were being raised as to who in the end will be the manager. I mean, we went on for days and days seeing these various names be linked to Roma, and then Ranieri comes back and it's an emotional return, and then he gives this very detailed press conference in which he lays out everything. He discusses how he joined the club again, how his discussions with Dan Friedkin went, and how he plans to play and what he plans to do and what he wants to do afterwards. And he was asked about Francesco Totti, and he was asked about Daniele De Rossi. And so obviously we've had our fair share of things to post on the website and to read about, but
another interview of Paredes talking of his future.
And then all the interviews with all the oldies, Vincent Candela, Giannini, Sabino Nela, all these, you know, all these guys who I always wonder what do they do every day, but wait for Il Messaggero to call and ask if they can do an interview. But it was so needed to put a bit of distance between watching this team and having to come up with something constructive to say about this team, because it really felt like Roma and us, the viewers, were getting trapped in a vicious cycle before this international break. So I must say, trying to, you know, to turn it down, to turn it off, to tune out, to turn the other way and look at something else, do something else, was so much needed that for the first time in a long while, I'll say, it's a shame that the next international break is only at the end of March. I must say, the prospect, John, of having to do this twice a week, at least until the end of March, is quite scary given what we've been offered so far in terms of spectacle to start the season with. So that has me worried.
It does have me worried too. That is a very bold assumption. Twice a week. That is a bold assumption to assume Roma will progress in Europa League. We can get to that later, I suppose. But very quickly on this thing with the break, I always go back to a direct message that somebody sent me some years ago. I cannot recall the exact match, but somebody sent me a message about what do I do when, or how do I decompress after these matches? Because they were saying to me, they enjoy watching Roma. It's their only hobby. And when there's difficult seasons like this, particularly after a very poor run of matches, they find it difficult to find any escape and they struggle from a mental health standpoint. This will be the only time where I'm rather serious on the podcast, and I have it saved in my direct messages, and I think I bring it up at least once per season to remind everyone that it is okay to turn it off sometimes and just step away, especially when it's bad, as we've seen thus far this season.
Of course.
I am in no position to obviously give some sort of medical advice. And no, I told the person that.
But I don't think that's the point here. It's more about, how do you find a way to see beyond the results, yes, to be able to move on from, a loss or a disappointing performance or whatever. And the answer is obviously always, try to look for something else at the same time. I mean, anything can be a hobby. I mean, for me, one of the best things is, say, for example, when Roma play in the late afternoon, the best is when they play at 6, which means they finish the match at 8. And we recorded the podcast. After the podcast, I get up and I start cooking. And for me, that is an outlet. You do something with your hands. You prepare something. It takes time. It forces you to concentrate on something else. So anything can be an outlet. Roma forces all of us into searching for something else, because Roma by itself is not enough. Roma by itself can very often make things much worse. So Roma is good in only small doses, or I was asked this on a recent podcast that I appeared in for Sporticos, and they said that a lot of people who do what we do, who have a website, who have a podcast, that in all of it itself, the fact that they have to analyze, they have to comment, they have to write about the team, helps process this stuff. And I do think that, I feel blessed to have this, obviously, because I don't feel the way I felt about this team when we just started recording together, where I would, for example, struggle to eat. If Roma lost, I would sit in my room and just be like completely miserable. I mean, that's no way to have a passion, if you can call it that. So the answer is always just try to expand your horizons. Yes. And especially in an international break where nothing really happens, only if you're Roma or Genoa, who just fired Alberto Gilardino out of the blue, something happens. But otherwise, this international break was boring as hell. I mean, everybody was struggling for news, there weren't even any interesting transfer rumors. And we're in, and we're in mid-November. I expected something spicy, and the closest that we've come to that is Corriere dello Sport this morning saying that Dan Friedkin has promised Claudio Ranieri important investments, and recently we've been linked to Real Madrid's Endrick. So that's all. So based on the standards that we've grown used to for the Roman environment, the Roman media, this international break, they were all sleeping. I think that the Claudio Ranieri hire took a lot of people by surprise and had a lot of them crawling back into their shells, because I must say, it's so fantastic when that same morning, when something important happens at Roma, you get all these names, John. On the day that Claudio Ranieri was appointed, we got the names of Erik ten Hag, Graham Potter, Massimiliano Allegri, Roberto Mancini. Those were like the four primary candidates, and Maurizio Sarri. On the day that Claudio Ranieri was appointed, in the evening when the news broke out that he was traveling to London to confirm his agreement with the Friedkins, that's that. So a lot of people, a lot of the time here, they think they can get away with these international breaks as some sort of period where they just can throw everything at the wall and see what sticks. But not in this international break. I really do think that the fact that the Friedkins took once again everyone by surprise with Claudio Ranieri's return, it humbled yes. a lot of people yes. who were trying to show off, and I'm glad, because every now and then you really need this type of silence, this type of media silence, where the best speculation that we got was, does Mats Hummels have the flu or not? Does he have family problems? What's his problem? You know, that's as far as we went this international break. And it was very much welcome.
It was very much welcomed. And I know this will probably not come as a surprise to many, but to expand upon what you were just saying, if you haven't noticed or you haven't realized it by now, many of these newspapers, Andy, it is quantity over quality. It is easy to throw out 250 names and then to be able to say, well, we said that, we wrote that, to be able to take credit. That is my issue with a lot of these, the bigger outlets. Now, Sky Sport doesn't do that, but Corriere dello Sport, I have a very low opinion of them, not only for, again, the standards they have there, who owns the newspaper. We don't have time to get into that. Or the fact that they will rip off an interview that we publish on our own and exclusive and give no attribution, as if it is just the standard, as if this is the normal operating procedure. That is something that you will see a lot of the bigger newspapers do. And again, to everybody that it comments on us on some of the stories, we put in the story, who wrote what news. We are putting it out there. We are aggregating it into English, so do not yell at us. We put it in italics, so you know exactly who to yell at. But it was funny, as you mentioned, about the thing with Ranieri, because again, you have about a dozen different names, which, by the way, have you ever noticed when it is a name like Ranieri, you will see somebody that brings out the name that is one that you sort of just veer to in terms of, oh, that would make sense, or he's been here before. When it is a creative, I think about this often with Thiago Pinto, because we heard about 3 dozen different names when it came to who would be the sporting director.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It was unbelievable. Yes. Again, yeah.
Yes. So when it is somebody unusual or not a prime suspect,
yeah,
there's very rarely do you see it coming from them. Now, again, Sky Sport, I have much higher opinion of them.
In Sky Sport, we're the ones who broke the Thiago Pinto hire. So,
yes, and I respect them far more than the likes of, again, according to Dello Sport. If we go down like the power rankings of some of the newspapers, it is truly the dregs of journalism. So there's
I must also say, because this morning, Ranieri's agent gave an interesting interview, and he brought some insight. And when they asked him, so when were you first contacted by Roma? And he said, immediately after Bologna beat Roma. So, and after that match, we heard nothing about Ranieri. Ranieri was only mentioned in passing, sort of as a speculation weeks ago, when the idea of him teaming up with Daniele De Rossi was brought up by some newspaper, you know, speculating on that Daniele De Rossi is a specific request made by Daniele De Rossi. I meant Claudio Ranieri is a specific request in the form of a technical director made by Daniele De Rossi, who would consider coming back to Roma only if Ranieri were to join him as technical director.
Yes.
But that was weeks and weeks ago. And if you think about all the names that came up the moment that Ivan Juric was sacked, none of them had anything to do with Ranieri. So that's, for me, that's okay. I know that a lot of people take issue with that in what the Friedkins do. Like, that's the kind of modus operandi that a lot of people are split on. So, because this element of surprise, I personally love it, because it really humbles a lot of people in this environment claim to know something, and most of the time they don't.
Yes.
At the same time, I can see that that modus operandi goes against the idea of the club being forthcoming, right? But in this case, I do think that the way this Ranieri hire was handled made the most sense and was necessary to, you know, because if you had heard it before, I think there may have been a bit of, you know, uncertainty. But once we heard about it, the fact that, oh, Ranieri is traveling to London to meet with the Friedkins to sign the agreement, that's how you build up the euphoria. So the fact that you just made, you know, it's that kind of box office Hollywood style announcement that catches everyone by surprise. I personally love it because I just think most of the time it's a this thing in the Italian sports media is always a guessing game, and it seems like it's a competition as to who can name the most people.
And above all, the issue that I think a lot of supporters, some in the old guard, I would say, in the media landscape is they do not operate in the normal Italian way. If you rub elbows with the correct people, if you have an in with an executive or with an agent, it is their belief that you should be privy to all of the information related to a certain storyline. You should be the first to have it. And even with Palotta Roma, that was often the case. And that is such an old way of thinking. And that is not how the Friedkins operate, as you mentioned. And I think that is still at the heart of what many people take issue with. They are used to reading things in Corriere dello Sport because one of the writers was able or is very close with somebody at the club. The Friedkins, they have this vow of silence, and they've shown if you're going to leak things, it's goodbye. R.I.P. to my former media contact at Roma, who got the axe like 8 or 9 months ago. They do not mess about. They do not play games. Yes, they do not. They do not play games. If you go against the family, so to speak, the Friedkin family, and you are going against their preferred ways of operating, they will cut and let you go. And again, the way they operate is so completely antithetical to what we have seen in Serie A over the last 20 to 30 years.
Where everybody's friendly, where everybody's chatty, yes. Everybody knows each other, right? Like that's the
and idea. Where the presidents play a role. They're a character of the story.
That's you where know, the president, and also, Lottito. You know, this, I mean, I do think, for example, now the search for the CEO, a lot of these names that are being thrown out there, it's once again, a lot of speculation because yes. you have these, the names that are being mentioned, Carnevali, Antonello. Why are these names being mentioned? Because they are all
Carnevali, the guy who does 25 interviews a day.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying is those names get mentioned because they're all friendly to this Italian system of doing things. They're all friendly with every single media. I mean, Carnevali talks to 10 different newspapers every week, you know, and that's how it works around here. So I do think that this Ranieri era was introduced, I do think, in the best possible of ways that you could have at this moment in time, in the sense that really this press conference that he made, it almost, you know, it brought back some kind of family atmosphere that clearly wasn't there since the very beginning of the season. I would argue even when Daniele De Rossi was here in the first weeks, that family atmosphere was not there, remember? Because there was that whole Zaleski saga. Daniele De Rossi was clearly disgruntled and kind of uncomfortable with that. That whole thing was taking place behind the scenes. He knew about it. Maybe he felt differently about it. So there was some tension there. Now, with Ranieri coming back, this press conference where he reaffirms his position at the club, he says he will have you know, power in the long term, as well as the executive right-hand man, you know, the consigliere of Dan Friedkin, you know, in all sporting club matters. And also to reaffirm this need for the fans. The fans must stay close to the team. I ask the fans, you know, once again, we get that dialogue open. Because when Juric was here and he was trying to say, well, we need to win back the trust of the fans, well, he was the first one to not be accepted by the fans. The fans rejected Juric just as quickly as the team did, you know. With Ranieri, that's impossible to do. And with the press conference, he reasserted his presence, his authority at the club. Clearly now he's the one running things.
Yes.
He made demands to the Friedkins. The Friedkins complied and are happy to fulfill those demands. So here we are back into what I think is the semblance, maybe the starting point of what I think we lost over the course of the summer for no reason at all. I don't know what happened, but I do think that what I experienced watching that press conference and what I experienced watching these recent videos of Roma's training sessions under Claudio Ranieri is a certain sense of familiarity that yes. wasn't there. Now it's back. I'm not saying that's all you need to take it up a notch and win against Napoli, for example. But I do think that at this moment in time, it was essential to bring back a figure that is not divisive. Unfortunately, Ivan Juric was a divisive figure. Claudio Ranieri, even though he's 73, even though he retired from club football, even though his most recent exploit was saving Cagliari from relegation, so not exactly top objectives, you can't help but cheer for him. There is just, it's sort of like a clear statement made by the club of, we recognize our mistake, here it is, we are supporting this man whom you all know, he represents something in all of your collective minds, and we are ready to start from scratch, okay? And build something important, not only in the short term until the end of the season, but also in the long term.
Well, absolutely. And the interesting part is, you know, the ones who are doing those protests against the Friedkins are now the ones lauding the return of Claudio Ranieri. So there is an interesting juxtaposition of those two things together when you consider that just some weeks ago.
And it will be interesting to see if they do listen, if they do end up listening to Claudio Ranieri, right? Because, you know, if the man asks for the support of the fans, and if the Curva, for example, are the ones dedicating banners to him, it would be quite stupid if they were, for example, to walk out of the stadium, you know, at the next home game. It wouldn't make sense. It wouldn't align, and it would be a big middle finger to Claudio Ranieri himself.
Yes. Yes. This does, in a way, force their hands, so to speak, because this is a guy that, much like De Rossi, there is unilateral agreement as to his return. There is nobody criticizing his return. There is nobody questioning his return. And his return is made possible only because of the Friedkin. So to have these two things, you can't have this thing where you're saying, Friedkin, yank, you go home. And then you also are up and arms with joy because of Claudio Ranieri returning to the club. Those things are incomplete. They're in contrast of each other. One doesn't happen without the other. And I think it is going to be interesting. I would hope that it gets put down, and I think it will. The other thing that I'm curious to see is, now you mentioned in training, it does seem like a family atmosphere. It gets me to the point of, okay, well, clearly the season starts now. As weird and odd as that is to say, we are 3 months late. You still have plenty of matches left. You are 12th in the table. It's not good. It cannot possibly be worse than what we've seen thus far. Okay, we can either do one of two things. We can continue the death march, or we can turn this thing around. Now, again, I can't envision things going worse. Obviously, you would have preferred Claudio Ranieri arrive at a point in the calendar that Juric was given, where you do not have this absolute death march of matches. Very difficult opponents coming up. You have Napoli. You have Atalanta. I mean, this is very on top of the Europa League, which
where you're facing Tottenham, where you need to, yes. you need to show some spark. You know, at least. Yes. At least some spark, because so far it's been really embarrassing. I would be very happy to, you know, to if Ranieri were to guarantee me the team doing their best in the Coppa Italia to drop the Europa League in favor of Coppa Italia, it would be very romantic to have Ranieri battle for one last trophy in his career.
Yes.
But we're looking at not the ideal schedule. We're also looking at, you know, a lot of players talk about second chances. We're looking also at a lot of players who, I want people to brace themselves, because we are looking at Ranieri, who I do think, I mean, let me put it this way. This is an old school guy. This is a guy who will play the guys he trusts. Who does he trust? Who does he know? The players that most fans are not excited to see. So let me name them. Stefan El Shaarawy, Lorenzo Pellegrini, and Brian freaking Cristante. Okay, those are the guys.
Play the hits, yes.
That will see the pitch a lot with Ranieri. And you have to accept that. Like, you have to prepare yourself for that. That's how it's going to go. That does not mean that they will be playing all the time, but I do think that if we look at this stretch of games, and if we look at who does he have at his disposal and who does he know, I mean, it's pretty logical to assume that, hey, if I already coached you 5 years ago, I'm going to take a chance on you once again, because I do believe that you know me, I know you, you're going to do what I ask of you on the pitch, right? Instead of playing experiments, of trying things out at this difficult moment, I assume that his way of setting up the team now will be to give more defensive solidity, but also to have the guys with whom he is familiar and make them central to how the team functions on the pitch. And that unfortunately means, but for a lot of people, that they'll have to watch Brian Cristante lead the midfield.
Yes, but I also think this is an opportunity to at least breathe some new life into certain players. I think the one that every single person points to, or at least from what I've seen and what I agree with.
And what we've been saying, yeah.
Sule, yeah?
Sule, I mean, Sule and Hummels. Sule and Hummels.
Did you see the video of Sule when he hugged Ranieri?
He looked like he was freed from a gulag, you know, definitely. Like, clearly Sule was very much struggling, not only under Juric, also under Daniele De Rossi. The difference is that De Rossi was giving him more consistent playing time, but I do think that that Sule is the one player you really have to work on. The one player that you spend a lot of money on. People say Lefe has been good. Lefe, for what he's been able to do despite his injury, he's been good since coming back. Definitely not one of the worst performers under Ivan Juric. Sule needs to be saved. Like, literally, he needs to be, you know, I mean, cuddled. He needs to be put in a warm blanket, you know, and he needs to know that he is important to this team, because the worst thing you can do to a player like Sule is invest a lot of money on him and then have him play the scraps, the last 5-10 minutes. I mean, that's a killer. That's a killer right there. That's Schick 2.0, you know, so you can't have that on your hands. And the same applies to Mats Hummels. because it's going to be ridiculous. You know, here you are, you have this guy who's been, who fulfills all the demands and all the requirements, everything you needed for the past years where you struggled for defensive depth and leadership. He's the one who gives it to you. And what do? You squander it and you let him go, say, in January. For what? Why? You know, you got him on a free, make use of it. So I do think that those two guys need to be the main, Ranieri's main concern in training. Everything else, Samuel Dahl, for example, or the combinations of Lefebvre or Pizzilli, whoever it is, that's secondary. I do also think, for example, Pizzilli, you need to work on him because Pizzilli was about to get, if Ivan Juric had stayed and Pizzilli was being kept as a trequartista, I would imagine a very similar spiral to Felix Afenagian, you know, where you insist on a player who's visibly struggling, you're not giving him the time to succeed in the position that he's meant to be, and you do not give him the time to develop the basics, because we must understand that Pizzilli is still learning. This is not a finished product. So you cannot give him too many duties and too many different tasks, which is what Ivan Juric was asking of him. So I would say Sule, Pizzilli, and Hummels, three players that that Ranieri needs to put on his board in the training and underline and make those a priority. You cannot lose those three players because they are the ones who allow you to consider depth. With Sule, you have a guy who can replace Dybala. With Pizzilli, you have a guy who can do a lot of things and can replace the main starters in the midfield. And Mats Hummels is a guy who provides you with the exact leadership that I think Ranieri will want his backline to have, given how many defensive problems we've experienced so far this season.
Well, absolutely. And it will be interesting to see with this difficult stretch coming up, because listen, it's about, if you were to pick a period in the calendar in the first 4 to 6 months of the season, this right now would be the stretch where you would probably most likely label it the worst time to bring in a new manager. So Napoli, Tottenham, Atalanta, and then Lecce, Braga, Como, Sampdoria and the Coppa Italia on the 18th of December, which, I mean, you want to talk about the recipe of Porgino? That's it. Just the date. Roma playing Sampdoria, middle of December. The Porgino, those are the first ingredients of the recipe. Playing in the winter, in the middle of December, because isn't that when we had when Roma beat Atalanta and then they draw against that was in December, wasn't it?
Yeah, 4-1, mid-December, and then December 23rd, day before Christmas Eve, we get Roma Sampdoria 0-0.
Oh, the ideal gift that we are used to receiving from Roma. But again, the stove, the oven is beginning to heat for that match. I mean, I didn't know that it was Sampdoria in the middle of December in the Coppa Italia. And the fact that you brought that up, you mentioned Roma, watching Ranieri do well in that competition. I think that is the additional ingredient that is needed for it. So we will see what happens, but this is a very difficult stretch. And then after that, home to Parma, away to Milan, then the Derby, then away to Bologna. So these next 2 months, you mentioned the next international break does not come for some time. I hope everybody took advantage of this past week
because this is where it gets rough. And that's the thing about the start of the season. It was a very easy schedule. I don't remember such an easy schedule in years for Roma to only face the main teams that we faced were Juventus Inter and yes. and Fiorentina. So three games that, okay, we can put as difficult, but everything else was completely achievable. And here we are, 12th in Serie A. That's it's unbelievable, but that's the way it goes. So these next few months, because again, next international break is at the end of March. It's going to be a roller coaster. It's going to be a roller coaster. So that I really advise people to find their hobbies right now, because you're not going to have the time later on.
Quickly, well, and they begin away to Napoli, a team that I still can't quite put my finger on. It's Conte. You know what you're getting.
They're playing once a week. That's very, very important for any team that Antonio Conte leads. That is
the prerequisite. Yes.
This is his bread and butter. This is akin to a holiday in a five-star in Hawaii. Okay. the opportunity to coach a strong team by having them play only once a week, to him, it's heaven. So
yes.
You know, and we're looking at a Napoli side that went through so much over the course of last season, didn't really change much in terms of, you know, signings. They got Scott McTominay, they got Romelu Lukaku, they got Billy Gilmore. But as a whole, the structure of the team is very similar to the team that last season had three coaches. So that's how things can change so quickly in Serie A. You know, one time you're struggling and finishing 10th in the league, and the next time you're the favorite to win the Scudetto, because that's what Napoli are right now. So this is going to be extremely difficult, you know. This is going to be such a challenging first test for Ranieri. I don't think any one of us expects to see Roma, come out as the winners and completely dominate Napoli. But I do think that what a lot of us want to see is that something has clicked. I think that's our main concern, is to see a team with a pulse, to see a team that reacts, and to see a team that does not make those constant mistakes that then end up costing you, because that's what we were subjected to week in, week out, to the point that the match against Bologna, Bologna were just scoring freely as they pleased. And we were like, yeah, okay, sure. Like, why not? You know, it felt like that was the attitude of the players. Oh, God. Okay. They scored the third one. Sure. Fuck. Okay. What else? You know? So I think all of us can agree on the fact that what we need from this Napoli match, which is very difficult and comes at a very delicate moment, is to get a sense of the team being back. I want the sense that I am watching a team and not a collection of individuals who are being asked to play for these colors, and not a collection of individuals who, you know, are in their own little world and make mistakes that then end up hurting the team. That's what I want to see, is Roma being Roma again. This sense of familiarity that we saw in training, that we saw in the press conference, I want to see that. I want to see this sense of fraternity and unity in the Maradona on Sunday.
Yes. It goes to show you, quite frankly, where our standards are at, Andy. I didn't bring the data of Roma's performances in big matches. I didn't bring the numbers of Roma when they play against Napoli. We are at a point where you have to come into this stretch with realism and some balanced expectations, because we are at the point where, as you mentioned, we're coming off a stretch, Andy, where the players, you know, it seemed almost were openly in revolt against the manager, going to Firenze and getting demolished, facing Bologna, getting hammered, showing no signs of life. We are essentially at the point where we just need Roma to show they are alive, show you are alive. Nobody is going to expect them to come away with this with 3 points. But if there is at least the fight and the appearance of, okay, we do have, on paper at least, a lot of quality within this team. We have completely thrown away into the bin the first few months of the season. We understand the task at hand. We understand we have to make up ground. Let's do it. Again, I think we would be dishonest if we came on here and said, 3 points. You can't come. You cannot leave the match this weekend with anything less than 3 points. We're not at that point. Just because you have a manager come in, that doesn't mean everything is going to click right away. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if he were to even continue it, at least in the short term, for a few matches. With 3 at the back, we all expect a 4-4-2.
I remember 4-3-1-2. when Ranieri came in last time, 5 years ago. I do think, if I remember correctly, we got destroyed by Napoli. So, let's not get our hopes to the point where we expect Roma to come out the better team, because that's a bit too ambitious and far-fetched at this moment in time, based on the evidence that the team has provided us with. But we do need to require the team to show a semblance of a team, to show the semblance of a performance, of a team performance. Yes. That's what, because I really do struggle to count a single match where I can honestly talk about a team performance. Perhaps really the only thing is the Udinese match.
No, yeah.
I do think that Udinese is the only game where consistently from the first to the last minute, we were a team. Everything else has been a barrage of really unfortunate events and terrible individual mistakes. So that is what we must require of this team, is to show us something that makes us go, oh, that's right. Okay. I see what they're trying to do. Because what we haven't seen is an idea of a team, an idea of what to do on the pitch. And if you don't have that, you don't win games and right, you concede stupid chances. So that's how it goes. And that's what we must avoid right now at all costs. Ranieri has been called to stabilize the ship, not to lead this ship to the Scudetto, just to stabilize it enough to get to the end of the season.
Yes, and again, get it to the point where we don't have to worry about shipping 5 goals and fittings, where you don't have to worry about, are Roma even going to perform tonight? Are they up to it? I have to tell you, I am still haunted by that defeat to Bologna, Andy, because it looked like the entire crew revolting against the captain of the ship, so to speak. I am horrified at some of the things we saw in that match, because it was over from the second that whistle blew to begin the game. Roma were never in it. There was no conviction. Had Roma even pulled off a draw on that one, I think you had to sack Juric, because it was...
Yeah, it was a mutiny on full display.
Yes.
A mutiny on full display. A team that flat out gave up on everything, not only on the manager, on the audience, on the match, on the result, on everything. It was a team that completely lacked any sort of confidence and commitment. That's even worse. Commitment to the match. They just checked out. And once that happens, you need proof. You need a reaction. And that's what I hope to get against Napoli, is you go up against the top side, away from home, difficult environment. The fans from Lazio, the residents from Lazio are not allowed to attend the match. So you have to really prove yourself. And that's what Roma must do, is they have to give us... a bit of hope. That's all they need to do, is give us a bit of hope. I know it's asking a lot of a team that has finished so far 12th in the league, but that's what we need. is hope to get us through the end of this season.
That's the perfect way to end it. Until next time, everyone. Ciao.